All right, did any of you not get a pupil's guide or a pupil's book last week? You'd like to have one, would you raise your hand? We're supposed to have men in place. Yeah, we do have to get those out. Raise them real high so they can see them. Way back over in the right-hand corner. Brother Dobbs, can you take one or two over there? You got them? Okay. Back over there. And we're not filling in the blanks this time, but there's a section on the side of your pages there. My pages will correspond with yours, and there's a section there, a little area where you can take notes, maybe some additional notes that I'll give, or maybe some ideas that you think of as we're going through it. So if you will, be sure and study ahead. There's some preparation questions in each section that I hope you'll spend time every week. And we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday like that, so you can take just a portion of the scriptures we're going to be covering in the next lesson. And so I hope you'll read ahead. That'll stir your mind up for some answers, and there's some questions there. And I hope you'll do that. All right, let's go to 1 John, if you will, chapter 1. Go to Revelation and back up a little bit. 1 John chapter 1. How many of you are Baptists and you're glad you're Baptist? You're not ashamed of it, all right? This Episcopal priest was going to baptize a Baptist, and they had been asked for some reason or other for the family to do that. And so whenever he got permission from the bishop, they always have to do that, or it was a funeral. I'm sorry, I said Baptist, I meant funeral. And he said, can I have a funeral for the Baptist? So he called his bishop, and the bishop said, yeah, there's no problem. He said, let's bury all the Baptists we can. Amen. So, but one preacher preached about 10 minutes, and he ran out of notes, and he explained to the people, he said, I've got to tell you why I'm not going to preach longer, because my dog likes paper. My dog ate the rest of my notes this morning. And there was a guy visiting church that morning. He said, does your dog have any pups? He said, yeah, why? He said, I want to give my preacher one of those pups. So some of you have to figure that out. All right, laughter is good for the soul. And you're still, some of you are still trying to find 1 John. But anyway, we're going to talk about from death to life. That's the main theme through this study. And 1 John is going to be our one of the main areas of text that we're going to use. And so today we want to look at the word of life. And you can follow along there in your notations about the word of life. And now in 1 John, if you'll look at 1 John 1:1, a powerful verse, that which was from the beginning. Now notice it, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. And the reason, there's two things there that sound like both from the eyes. The second one in the original language means we focused and gazed upon him. We've seen with our eyes, not only seen, but we focused on him. We gazed upon him. We have looked upon, and our hands have handled, we've actually touched him, of the word of life. The word of life. You notice that the word there, the W, is capitalized. Well, he's speaking of what person? The Lord Jesus. And that's who he's talking about here in 1 John, the word of life. In other words, that is one of the very special names of Jesus Christ. He is the word of life. Not just the word, but the word of life. And so he has a wonderful title. Titles are important, aren't they? when I was in Africa, and Brother Gillett, we were on the same trip, and we would see some kings. Well, Brother Steve would explain to us that that would be a king or a tribal leader, and we had a certain way we were to present ourselves and not speak until they spoke, and he would identify the king. And the kings in Africa, very important men. Now, the politicians are important, but the kings over their people, their tribes and all, are extremely important. So they still call them kings. They usually have the nicest house in their community or city. They dress in some type of robes that would indicate royalty and all of that. Because they're kings. That's their title. And you need to be aware of that if you're over there. And that identifies who they are. This is the king. This is the one that is in charge. And so we talk about our president. We talk about others and give them titles so we can identify them. As the Lord opens for us the first epistle of John, right quick we find out he gets into the word of life. And as he presents Jesus the word of life, immediately he tells us that this is written to believers. In 1 John 1:5 through 13, for instance, he said to those who believe on the name of the Son of God, it is written to believers. So we know also in chapter 2, verse 1, if you look there, he says, my little children. So he's writing this letter to little children or to save people. One of the main themes throughout the whole book of 1 John is fellowship with the Father. And he mentions that in just a little bit. We'll see that. But he tells us in 1 John that we can know that we have eternal life. I meet people a lot of times and I'll say, have you come to the place you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they'll hem-haw around and say, well, I think so, or maybe so. Or they'll say, oh, I really don't know that I can know that until I get there. That's a little too late. You may not get there. Or they give some kind of excuse. They talk about all of their justification. Well, I believe, Amber, why do you believe it? Because I'm a good person. I try to live by the golden rule. I try to do what's right. And you'll get all these answers from them. But we know that we're saved because we believed on the name of the Son of God. And that's what 1 John 5:13 is talking about. I'm glad today we have a no-so salvation. Not just hope-so, maybe-so. Man, I'm glad when I pillow my head at night, I know if I don't want to awaken during the night, if I die during my sleep, I'll make my way to heaven right away. Because I know that I know that I know I'm saved. And in the original language, the word know there means I know it now and I always will know it. I have it now, I always will have it. No doubt about it, I know that I'm saved. And so we know that John tells us that that's an important part of it as he talks about it in 1 John 5:13. But it is written to believers, written to believers. And we can know that we're saved by the Word of God. And we can know that we're saved by the witness of the Holy Spirit. And then there's another one we need to add to that, I think. We can know that we're saved because we have the birthmarks of being saved. If you don't have the birthmarks of being saved, you probably didn't get saved. And there are a lot of birthmarks that change our life. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are changed. And so John is writing his testimony to believers concerning the Word, the Logos, the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus is referred to as the Word. God reveals to us who He is in the person of Jesus Christ. If you were God, how would you have revealed to people what you're like and who you are? And He did it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all have thoughts, and those thoughts are not known until we share those thoughts or till we speak of those thoughts or till we form those thoughts into words. For instance, my wife can cook a good meal, and I can think in my mind, and she does cook a lot of good meals, I'm proof, real proof, and she cooks a lot of good desserts. She cooked an apple pie just the other day. And so I'm glad. I let the apples get a little old so she'll do that, see. So anyway, but if I don't, I can think it in my mind and say, boy, that was good, a good meal. And man, she's a good cook. And boy, that was a great dessert. And on and on and on. But until I go tell her, she doesn't know. She may sort of assume that a little bit after you've been married 54 years, but it's always good to say, hey, by the way, that was a good meal and that was a good dessert. But she's not really going to know it unless you express it. Same way with your children. Unless you tell them they've done something good. You may have to find that they picked up one sock during the day, but at least compliment them on doing that and let them know what your feelings are. When I was pastoring, I worked with a staff always, and then when I first started out, I didn't have a staff. I had a part-time secretary, and I did all the rest. But finally, we were able to grow and get some people on staff, and then had a good staff here in the different churches. But a lot of times, they would do a good job. Most of the time, they would. They didn't stay around long if they didn't. But most of the time, they would do a good job, but they wouldn't know that. And one time I had a staff worker say, I don't know if I'm pleasing you or not. You never tell me. And I said, well, you know, I had to think about that. And I started telling them, you're doing a good job, and I appreciate what you're doing. I expressed my true feelings. And so how is God going to express who he is and get it out there? He does it through the Logos, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the expression of God, the Word of Life. And let me just add this here, too. He's talking about deity here. Jesus is the Word of Life. Capital W, he is God in the flesh. Deity. In John 1:1, he tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was capital G-O-D. Now, if you get a New World Translation, you get to that point. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, that's wrong, isn't it? Absolutely wrong. He was not a God. He was God. And so there's a big difference. That's why we're not Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or anything else, because we believe that God, Jesus, was God in the flesh, very God, and he was deity. And so one of the tests as to find out who's lying about what they believe is found in 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And if anybody tells you they don't believe in the deity of Christ, you have a right to call them a liar from the Bible. You may want to duck after you do, but you have a right to say that does not come from God. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus was absolutely God in the flesh. And so we have the manifestation in your outline on page 6 right at the top, the manifestation of the Word of Life. And John liked that word, manifestation. He used it a few times in 1 John because he liked that. 1 John 1:1 and 2, let's look at that again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He's simply talking about the fact that Jesus existed before he was conceived in the womb of Mary. And he's giving us here not a second-hand report, but a first-hand report. He's not saying this is theory, or I heard somebody say, or there's a group that told me this. He's saying we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We heard him. We touched him. We saw him. We gazed upon his life. A first-hand report. And that's always the best kind of report. One night we were coming home from church. We always went to church. And my sister and I were sitting in the back seat after my older brothers and sister were gone. And so we were coming in one night, and we were coming down the main highway, and we had about a quarter of a mile on a dirt road to our house, just a lane that went up to our house. And we had a bar ditch that ran through there. Somebody asked me the other day, well, why do we call them bar ditches? I said, I don't know. We just always call them bar ditches. But I looked it up, and it has to do with a barrier so the cattle wouldn't get across. And then it goes back to the word bar road, where they dig up that ditch. And down in Louisiana, they dig up the ditches and use that dirt to make the roads to raise it up out of the swamp land. And so somehow it's called a bar ditch. But we were coming in, And I was always gazing to see what might be in that ditch. And man, I thought I saw a dead man in khaki clothes there. And I just panicked. That shook me up. I was pretty young. And I said, "Mama, Mama." She said, "What is it?" I said, "There's a dead man in the bar ditch." And she said, I don't know. And finally we got to the house, and I was all upset. And Mother said to Daddy, "You know, Eulis, I believe you better go back down there and check and see, because he's really emphatic about this. He believes he saw it." Daddy went back down there. Sure enough, there was a man in the bar ditch. I saw him firsthand. And Daddy brought him to the house. I was a little upset about that. But it was a guy that was sort of a bum who was traveling, and he had just got down the bar ditch to go sleep. So Daddy brought him home. We fed him out on the front porch, and he had a good meal and went on his way. But I was pretty shook. I didn't think I slept real good that night. But I was going to let him know, "Hey, you're not going to forget this. I saw him. I saw him. I know I saw him." And I was right. And so he's saying that I saw, we saw, we touched, we heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's talking about the life being manifested. We've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. That's Jesus. He always has been. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they always have been, all right? And so Jesus just came through a miracle birth by the way of the Virgin Mary. There was no sin seed in Jesus. That was the power of the Holy Spirit, and she conceived. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world from eternity past. So you have the manifestation of the Word of God. They saw him. They knew that he was Jesus, God in the flesh. Then you have the declaration of the Word of life, the declaration of the Word of life. Look in verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." We've seen it, we've experienced it. "Now we declare this unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." He's saying, "We're going to declare it to you so you'll know the truth. And you can have fellowship, we can have fellowship with each other, but our main fellowship is with the Father and with the Son." We're going to walk in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And so he said, "I'm declaring him unto you." Now, if you really know somebody and you really love somebody, and you're going to want other people to know about that. You're going to speak about that person. I know I love my wife, and I don't mind telling other people about her. I was with someone the other day, and we were talking about our wives, as men do, and I said, "Well, God gave me a good one. God really blessed me with a wonderful wife." And I didn't mind telling him that, because I love her, and she is a wonderful wife. And so, I forget what he said about his wife. Oh, no, it was good. I'm sorry. He didn't say a whole lot, but it was good. What Lily said was good. But anyway, I don't mind talking about my wife to anybody and testifying to that. That's sort of the way people are with grandkids. This guy walks up to another guy, and he said, "Have I shown you pictures of my grandchildren yet?" He said, "No." And I sure do appreciate that. You know, he said, "You ever get tied up with somebody, they go through all of those. Now it's on the telephone. They just keep scrolling. They got 100 pictures of their grandkids." And I love your grandkids, but I love mine too. But you don't mind talking about them. You know why? You love them, and you're proud of them. You're thankful. If you let somebody get a new great-grandbaby or grandbaby, they'll bring that picture and show you here at the church all about that. So if we don't talk about the Lord, there's a problem. One is we don't know him well enough, and two is we don't love him enough. If we know him well enough, and you know him by prayer and spending time in the Word, and you know him, then you love him so much, you're going to be glad. It's not going to be a great, horrible thing for you to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first century disciples, we mentioned that at the top of page 7, the first paragraph there, second paragraph, the first century disciples suffered severe persecution. Why? Because of their faith. And what was it? It was that they spoke up for the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, we know that they were speaking up for the Lord. And Caiaphas and the high priest and some of the others came up to them. By the way, over 5,000 were saved, but they said, we've got to stop them. They're healing people, and we've got to stop them from preaching. And they went to them and said, you've got to quit doing this. You can't do this anymore. And they said, you do what you want to, but we cannot but do what God's told us to do. And they just kept on preaching. As a matter of fact, they went to preaching right then. You go back and study it in Acts chapter 4. But they, true followers of Jesus, cannot be silenced. We have to speak up for the Lord. And there are many avenues we can do that. Where can you speak up for the Lord? Where can you speak up for the Lord? Well, you can do it with your co-workers where you work. Develop a relationship with them. Maybe you're a member of some kind of club somewhere, a good club that wouldn't violate your Christian principles. You can talk to people there. You can talk to doctors. Doctors need to be saved. Nurses, their nurses need to be saved. I was telling you the other day, I witnessed to one of my doctor's nurses was in, and I just point blank asked her, I said, if you died today, do you know? We talked a while first, but I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And she just sort of flinched like that. So, well, I sort of hope so. And we talked a little bit, and I gave her a track. She was pretty busy. But you can do that. Waiters, waitresses, not only give them track, but if you have time and they're not overly busy, sometimes they'll talk to you. Sometimes they'll even sit down by you and talk to you. Sometimes it's people who work on your car, mechanics, or it may be your beautician, or it could be your barber, or someone like that. And you get to talk to them about the Lord, and that's a good thing to do. And on, you can think of so many different things. But we need to do it. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and what? Teach. That means you got to speak up. Teach all nations. Witness to them. Tell them about that. And Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, they were on their way to the temple. And they saw this beggar man. They stopped and talked to him. And he wanted some money. And they said, silver and gold have I none. They were Baptist preachers. So, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And he did. And so where were they going? They were busy. They were on their way to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a prayer service, but they were not too busy to stop and tell this man what he really needed. And then he got up and did a little leaping and upset the people down at the place where they were going. So anyway, the temple. Now we have the possession of the Word of God, the manifestation of it, the declaration of it. That's what we ought to do very quickly, the possession of the Word of God. Look at verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you. Why are you writing this, John? These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Are you a joyful Christian today? Are you sure? We should be joyful Christians, and we have reasons to be. And their lives are changed so dramatically, and from a life of sin to a life of service and to a life of joy because they knew the Lord. What made that possible? It was the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that'll make it possible so that we can have that joy. I remember a guy that was a pig farmer. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to try to tell this fast. But he was a pig farmer. And every time I'd go to his house to witness to him, he'd go upstairs. They had a big two-story white house, and they raised corn, too. But Doug would always go up there. And so finally I said to his wife, you got to tell me something about Doug. And Doug was pretty rough. I said, how can I get on the same plane with him? And so I've told you the story before, but I said, tell him, and he had some of the best coon dogs around, and he sold them, made a lot of money. And so I said, tell him I've never been, I want to go. And so sure enough, that he took me up on that and took me out. But it took me a long time, but I kept working with him, talking to him. Doug was pretty rough, I'm telling you. But when he got saved, boy, he just did a turnaround. What was it that made the difference? The blood of Jesus Christ. One time I was back, after I'd taken this church back there for a funeral, and Doug was singing. He had a voice I couldn't believe. Fantastic voice, and his family and church and his wife and all of that. And so it's the blood that does it. 1 Corinthians, let's look there just a second very quickly. We're about finished up here, but if you can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's drop down to verse 9, where he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. And that, and by the way, in the original language, most of these refer primarily to men, but it can be extenuated, extended to the women, but neither fornicators. And that's those men that live a loose lifestyle. And idolaters, that could be both, but he's talking about making anything an idol in your life, whether it's your grandchildren or sports or some habit you have that you won't quit, nor adulterers, primarily talking about men who would run around on their wives, nor effeminate, talking about two men living together. And the word effeminate really means soft, sort of like a man wearing women's clothing is the idea. Nor adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuals. And God is against it. God will save a homosexual. We ought to love a homosexual and win them to the Lord like a whoremonger. But these people will change their lifestyle if they get saved. And he's telling them, this is what you used to be, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice verse 11. And such were some of you. You used to do those things. But what happened to you? But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They got saved. That's what happened to them. And that'll change your life when you really get saved. And as I said, there should be some evidences for that. So where is the joy of the Lord to be found? Where is the joy in life to be found that Jesus promised? It's in Him. The joy is always to be found in Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were justified by the Spirit of God. They were saved, and that's where the joy comes in because of that. All right, study those, the word of life, and you see the manifestation, the declaration, and the possession of the word of life. And so we ought to go out and witness, amen? We should, God has been so good to manifest to us His Son. We've gotten saved and born again because He manifested His Son to us. Our lives changed, now we ought to go out and declare Jesus to others. I mean, everybody in this room ought to do it. Not just me or the pastor or anybody else. Every woman in this room and every man in this room should be at the business, on purpose, witnessing and telling others about Christ. Now, leave the results in His hands. You don't have to notch your gun and come and brag about it, but what you need to do is be faithful to go out and witness and tell others. All right, on your back of your lesson sheet there, or the next lesson, we'll be looking at God is light. And I want to encourage you to do the background reading, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, do that so we'll be prepared for the next class. Father, thank You for Your word, and help us to declare the good news that You've revealed to us, that Jesus, Your Son, died on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.